From the Stone Academy Medical Assisting Studio.
WZMX FM and WZMX HD1 Hartford. Always on radio.com. Radio.com. Hot 93.7.
It's time to stop the music and let the voices be heard. Call 860-674-9307 and let's talk.
Hello?
It's time for Voices with your host, DJ Big Man, on Hot 93.7.
All right. It's another edition of Voices on Hot 93.7, hot937.com. All right, Big Man here, and every single week we'll bring you some topics, some discussions, most importantly, guests who have some very, very important information that you should already have. Some people may have never heard of, you know, some of these programs that are in place. Some people may have never heard of any of these cases, or some people may know about it and they may have wondered when these issues, cases, voices, or concerns, when they would actually get a voice. And I think this is what this show was designed for. We want to make sure that, you know, no one is left out. We want to make sure that everyone is represented here. And we want to make sure if there's some type of injustice, that we're able to speak on it, give it a voice, and find some possible solution. So I have some guys on the line, and I've had them on the show before, but this was when we were coming on way earlier in the morning. And they've been doing such great work that it was important to have these guys back on. I have a couple of attorneys, Devon Ward, all right, and Ken Krajewski. Did I say it correct?
Yes, you did.
All right. Good. I'm doing something right here. But these guys have something very, very important to discuss. They're working. They've worked on a number of cases, and this is such an injustice. And I think it's something that we really need to listen to and understand what these guys are doing and how they're doing it to help out those who may be suffering. You know, sometimes I think people think, okay, when we have someone incarcerated, you know, oh, they're in the system. Well, they did their crime and so on and so forth. And we kind of tend to disregard that these people are still human beings. And then we say those statements, and sometimes we find out, you know, these people have been locked up for crimes that they never committed. And so you felt that way about someone who was essentially innocent. And regardless, it's still a human being. And so let's just jump right in and let everyone know what you guys are currently working on right now.
So I'll start off. So we're working on this case for a young lady. Her name's Tiana LaBoy. Tiana is or was an inmate at York Correctional in Nyantic, Connecticut. And in 2018, in February 2018, she was forced. And when I say forced, she did not have a decision in it, and she begged for help for a number of days. She was forced to give birth in her prison cell without the assistance of medical professionals and in a completely unsanitary and unsafe environment for her and for her baby. And we represent her in a case against a number of prison officials who were present and presided over that event occurring. And we're trying to highlight her case. And Big Man, thank you so much for the platform. And we're trying to get folks to petition the Attorney General, William Tong, who is fighting her case, who is essentially trying to defend why a woman in 2018 was forced to give birth in her jail cell, even though medical officials and prison officials knew she was pregnant, and even though she asked for help for a number of days, she was forced to give birth in her jail cell. And William Tong's defending that suit. And so we're asking folks around the state to join us in standing with Tiana, joining us in standing for women's rights, and just standing against this horrible, inhumane atrocity that was committed against Tiana, and let the Attorney General know that we're not happy with him using our taxpayer dollars to fight against this poor woman who was forced to endure these horrible circumstances. And so we've set up a website. It's called Justice for Tiana, TIANNA.org. You can go there, learn more about her case, and learn more about the petition that we have for her. But that is the case that we're really fighting right now, in addition to a number of others. But that's the one that we're really, really in earnest fighting right now, and that's what we've been working on.
Wow. So this case, this is eerily similar to the last time I had you guys up here. And it's like, it seems like when there's a case of medical care and someone needs some medical care, there seems to be a constant where they're denied treatment or the treatment is really shabby, and where they're in a situation where maybe they could have been possibly cured or they could have, you know, had more years of life. Their life was cut down because of the lack of treatment or the lack of a desire to get them treatment or the lack of effort to get them any treatment. And that seems like it seems like it's ringing over and over and over again, but in different types of situations.
So the cruel irony, big man, is that the prisoners are the only people in the United States of America who have a constitutional right to health care. Both the Eighth Amendment and the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution protect people who are incarcerated. The Eighth Amendment focuses on people who are already sentenced, and the 14th Amendment focuses on people who have not been sentenced, pretrial detainees or unsentenced detainees. Mm-hmm. And it's a heightened standard because you can't walk across the street and go to a different oncologist or a gynecologist. Mm-hmm. You can't walk across the street and say, hey, this sore throat that I've had for 9 months, can I get a different ENT to look at this? Or can I even get an ENT to look at this?
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what the court system says, the United States court system says, to enforce this right of health care, a prisoner must show that the state basically was criminally reckless. Basically, it was criminal conduct that they committed. And we think having a baby on a toilet cell in a prison
mm-hmm.
is criminal conduct on people who force her to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And William Tong, the Attorney General, purports to be a champion of human rights. He, on Saturday in Hartford, he spoke at a women's rights rally at the state capitol. And you wonder how you can sit there and say women's rights are really important and then bring the entire weight of the Office of the Attorney General of the state of Connecticut down on a 19-year-old Puerto Rican woman from New Britain who was forced to give birth in a prison cell. And the child who was born is going to wear that scarlet letter for the rest of her life.
Wow, wow. If you're just joining, it's Hot 93.7, Hot937.com. On air, I have Attorney Devon Ward and Attorney Ken Krajewski. I want to make sure I'm saying that. I'm going to keep practicing until I got it correct. All right.
You got it.
But the thing that, oh my goodness, this is such. Every week, it seems like I'm hearing something that's just worse and worse and worse. And to have, you know, at the end of the day, we are still human. We are still human beings, regardless of what mistakes we've made. All right. But if you're, you know, in some instances, these officials are under oath to protect, to serve, to do the right thing. And then how can you claim to be a champion for human rights and do something like this? It's a contradictory statement. And I mean, what kind of answers are you guys getting, if any at all?
Well, so I want to talk a little bit about the procedural history of the case and a little bit about the timeline. So Tiana, she goes into Department of Correction custody on August 14th, 2017. She's about 2 months pregnant at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you fast forward to February 7th, 2018 is when she starts having abdominal cramping. And the next day, 3 days later, her cramping returns. She goes down to medical. And then 2 days later, she's still returning to medical, going down, trying to ask for assistance, and she's dismissed with just a bag of ice and a bottle of water. Mm-hmm. And then on February 13th, that's when she unfortunately feels the baby coming. She remembers what her mom told her, and that, you know, hey, if you may feel like you have to go to the bathroom when you feel the baby coming. And so she sits down, and the baby comes, and she, with the assistance of her roommate, she delivers the baby in her cell. Fast forward to June 2018, the Department of Corrections concludes their own internal investigation. They actually terminate one employee, and then there were a number of other things that went wrong. They found out that two of the lieutenants who were supposed to be doing rounds that night didn't do rounds. They falsified the logbooks and said they did. And the inference is, if they would have done their rounds, they would have seen, you know, Tiana in distress and tried to get her to the hospital. And big man, I think that's the whole point, is that at any point, either the COs or the nurses that were there, all they had to do was pick up the phone and call 911 and get this girl to a hospital. Mm-hmm. Right? It's as simple as what anybody would do. Any humane person would do is call the ambulance and get this young lady to a hospital. Mm-hmm. And they failed to do that. And so the procedural history of the case is we filed the lawsuit in February of 2019, and immediately the attorney general tried to get her suit dismissed by saying she didn't fill out her internal grievances with the Department of Correction. And a federal judge said, no, Tiana didn't have to fill out any grievances because what happened to her was so egregious, and it speaks to itself, and this incident hopefully will never happen again. Her only recourse at this point is to file a lawsuit. And so the judge actually threw out the state's argument to dismiss her case and let her suit go forward. And then after that, the attorney general, knowing that, you know, Tiana's incarcerated and that, you know, her family is a family of modest means, he petitioned the court to have her and her mom put up $500 bonds with the court in case she lost her suit. And mind you, the state already has an internal report that says the state committed wrongdoing, but he's doing these things knowing, you know, this young lady doesn't have a lot of means, doesn't come from a family with a ton of money, and requiring her and her mom to both put up $500 bonds to move their case forward. The court threw out that argument as well. And so now we're in a phase where we're actually going to go into what's called discovery, and we're going to exchange a ton of information. We're going to do some depositions, which are essentially statements under oath with a court reporter. They're very unpleasant experiences. And so the attorney general, even though Tiana's been questioned in the DOC's own internal report, they are seeking to question her again. Not sure why, other than to harass her, but they're going to do that. And it's really going to be a cost-intensive and resource-intensive time for the attorney general because they're going to be using taxpayer resources to do this. Mm. And so, you know, we are trying to marshal people together to speak on behalf of Tiana and stand with Tiana and say, you know, this horrible thing happened. It shouldn't have happened. But we don't want you spending taxpayer dollars. We don't want you trying to defend the indefensible because the law is clear and the facts of this case are clear. And so, you know, we think this isn't a close call. This isn't something that the state is ultimately going to prevail on. And so we're really imploring the attorney general to do the right thing. Justice and some resolution to this horrible situation.
Right. It's Hot 93.7, hot 93.7.com. I have attorney Devon Ward and attorney Ken Krajewski on the line. And this is a very important case. Now, it seems to me like there's this I had people on last week and we talked about injustices and so on and so forth. And it seems like, okay, we'll talk about, you know, if there's something that happens, let's just put the comparison. If something happens in the streets, it's like if you see something, say something, and then if, you know, if it's found that you knew something about, you know, someone doing something wrong and you didn't give the information, now they're trying to come after you, press charges on you for, you know, being an accessory or whatever. What's going to happen here? Because it seems like there's a lot of moving pieces here and everything seems to be moving to cover it up or to escape accepting responsibility for the wrongdoing that's been done.
Well, I think, big man, I think the most astonishing part of this entire case to me is that shortly after Tiana gave birth on the toilet in the prison cell, the commissioner of the Department of Correction, Scott Semple, sat down with her, with the warden. They had a meeting, and Scott Semple apologized to her. Mm. He came straight out, and he said, I'm sorry. Mm. And so it's rare. I think we can all agree that it's rare for a government agency to apologize to somebody.
Right.
You know, the United States has got a long history of committing bad deeds against people and never apologizing for them. And here we have a high-ranking, the commissioner of the Department of Correction, a $600 million a year agency, apologizing to this young woman. But here we are, 2.5 years later, and that apology is not worth the paper or even the breath that he used to utter it.
Right.
And so our aim, I don't even want an apology. I want, and there, justice takes many forms. If we listen to Cornel West, he says, you know, love is justice in the public sphere. And justice, the form of justice that we want to see is that her family needs some level of remuneration. because Tiana is disabled, and they violated, we claim, and we filed an amended complaint, and in this amended complaint, we claim that they violated the Americans with Disabilities Act and their treatment of her. Mm-hmm. And so there's obviously monetary remuneration. Baby N, Tiana's daughter, is going to carry this scar around with her for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. And every time somebody, you know, Tiana has trouble with this. It's a difficult thing. And so there's that. And then we don't think that her cellmate got a year off her prison sentence. The warden called up Judge Patrick Clifford in New Haven and said to Judge Clifford, this woman was very helpful in a situation that was very difficult, and we would ask you for some leniency. Mm-hmm. So the judge agreed, and they shaved a year off of her cellmate's time.
Rightfully so, by the way. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So the question is, if the person who helped her give birth gets a year, and that's the value that we're setting for the person who was a spectator and an active assistant in this, what is the person who had to endure this traumatic torture get? What is the value that we place on her birth? How many years off of her sentence does she get because the first child that she had was born in a prison cell? And we haven't gotten into some of the more harrowing, grotesque details mm-hmm. that come with it that create extenuating circumstances for exactly how bad what happened to her was.
Mm. Wow, his voices is Hot 93.7, Hot 93.7.com. Big man here. I have attorney Devon Ward and attorney Ken Krajewski on the line. And basically what we're talking about is, in one word, injustice. All right? Injustice. A violation, if you will. But all that said, all right, we need answers. And the two attorneys on the line are looking for answers, and they're looking for redemption. How can, you know, someone say that, we're here for human rights. We support human rights. We support the rights of the people. But you have a violation like this and turn a blind eye to it, or try to participate in some type of a cover-up when it comes to this. And, you know, you have these guys on the line right now, these two attorneys fighting day and night for justice. And, I mean, this needed to be said. This information needed to be put out there, because we need to know what's going on. We need to know the real deal. Because sometimes I think a lot of this stuff is sugarcoated. A lot of things are brushed over. There's a lot of things that are left out. And if you're going to paint the picture, paint the entire picture. And this is a part of the picture. Before we go any further, I just want to applaud you guys, because this is the second time that I've had you on air. And it's two different kinds of injustice within the same system. All right. And both of them have long-lasting effects in terms of people's health. In terms of people's health.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the fight, clearly it doesn't stop, because that was well over a year ago. That was a couple years ago that I had you guys on.
I think that was about 2 years ago, big
right.
man.
Right.
And I think in the meantime, aside from Tiana's case, Devon and I won class certification, and Devon and I represent every inmate in the state of Connecticut for the purpose of getting them tested and treated for hepatitis C, which is, we're waiting for the legislature to approve the settlement and get it through the court. And so we have developed a level of experience and expertise in how the prison system deals with inmates in terms of their health care, and it's not good. Everywhere we look, there's delays and denials and underfunding built into the system. It's not a bug. It's a feature of the system that you can't get a pair of eyeglasses for 3 to 5 months. It's not a bug. It's a feature of the system that dentists will remove your teeth instead of filling them. It's not a bug. It's a feature of the system that you can get cancer and not get diagnosed until it's a stage four.
Wow.
And so one of the things that we appreciate about you is that you're willing to listen and tell your audience about these things. And I don't think a lot of people in this audience would be surprised that the state of Connecticut treats people in this manner. I would also note that we have a number of other cases in addition to hepatitis C and in addition to Tiana's, and we were talking about Wayne World, God rest his soul, that demonstrate that the system is broken. And I'm sure you've spent much time over the years talking about mass incarceration, and this is one of the symptoms of mass incarceration is to mistreat people and the medical care that they deserve.
Hmm. This is Voices. It's Hot 93.7, hot937.com. Big man here. I have Attorney Devon Ward and Attorney Ken Krajewski on the line. And this, if you're just tuning in, you need to pay attention to the rest of this discussion because there is a case right now that's happening. And it's, you know, this has been going on for right now. We're looking at 3 years, correct? 3 years for this.
On 3 years, so the incident happened in February of 2018. So, yep, we're approaching 3 years at the top of this year.
And here we are with no resolution, but there's a clear injustice with the system, okay? There's a clear injustice. We're talking about a system that, in most cases, is quick to judge if there's an injustice in the streets. If there's an injustice, you know, if someone takes someone's life or if someone injures someone, if someone intentionally neglects someone, then they're quick to justice. But not in this case. Not in this case. And so what do we do going forward? And this is where the two attorneys on the line, Devon Ward and Ken Krajewski, this is where they come in because they've been doing this. It's not something that they just started doing. They've been doing this for a long time. All right, we go back a couple years and I had them on and they were already working for a long time then. So it's an even longer time now, only to have newer and newer types of cases. So that means that constantly there's some type of injustice going on and constantly there's some type of cover up involved, correct?
Well, yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to sort through these cases when you get them. You know, it is somewhat of a blue wall of silence inside DOC in that it's tough to get some prison officials and medical officials to say what happened. The thing about Tiana's case that really, I think, drove it home for Ken and I is that they have this internal report that says exactly what went wrong and what went wrong in a number of ways. Mm-hmm. And even with that report, that is essentially an admission of guilt, or what we call in the law an admission against interest, the state of Connecticut is still going forward. Attorney General William Tong is still going forward and using the full weight and force of the Office of the Attorney General against this 20-year-old girl from New Britain. He's using the full weight of his office to deny her justice. He's sought to actually dismiss her suit, have it thrown out of court, arguing that she does not have a claim. Even though he's in possession of that same report I just told you about, saying that the state of Connecticut wronged this woman in a number of different ways. And we actually, for everybody to see, we're very transparent on justicefortiana.org. We've actually posted the DOC's internal report in its entirety, and we've also posted her complaint. Because one of the things I often hear when telling people Tiana's story is, there's no way that this could have happened. Mm-hmm. How in 2018 was a woman forced to give birth in a jail cell in Connecticut, maybe Mississippi, maybe in Alabama, but not Connecticut?
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell people, no, this happened. This happened, and it's a real thing, and people watch this, and no one decided enough's enough, I'm going to call an ambulance to get this woman out of here. And that report, which I said we posted on the website, detailed, this unfortunate incident really happened. And knowing that it happened and knowing that people wronged this young woman and certain protocols and procedures weren't filed, the Attorney General of the state of Connecticut is still moving forward to try to stop her from attaining justice. And so we are trying to call on folks in the community to join with Tiana, join with us, and stand with her and say, this is wrong, this has to stop. And so if you're listening, you know, please visit Justice for Tianna, TIANNA.org. Sign our petition telling Attorney General William Tong, please stop this use of my taxpayer dollars and please give justice to this young woman.
Wow. His voice is Hot 937, Hot937.com. Attorney Devon Ward, Attorney Ken Krajewski on the line. And this is, as I listen to it, I'm just like, my mouth just keeps, I'm like, what? Because based on what you're telling me right now, based on everything that you've said on the air, it's clear to me that there was some wrong done. It's crystal clear. Yet, we have the Attorney General saying no. Is that correct? Am I?
Yes. And what's really fascinating is the Attorney General has said, well, we fired the woman who was mostly responsible, and we're not even going to indemnify her. We're forcing her to get her own counsel. And what that does is the state eschewing responsibility for its misconduct and even overseeing her.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it makes it harder for my client to recover, and it makes it harder for my client to be whole. So wait a minute. The nurse who you say is mostly responsible, she was fine, and you loved her for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment that she does something that she thinks she's protected for, you throw her under the bus, and you say, no, 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 it was a bad apple. It wasn't the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the argument that we hear all the time in many other contexts in the law enforcement community. It's just a couple of bad apples. It's not the entire system. And I'm here to say, no, we're suing Scott Semple in this case because it is the entire system.
Mm.
Right. And so, Big Man, one of the important things that came out in that investigative report that DOC did on their own on this incident that happened is one of the things that was uncovered was that there were no nurses in the entire prison. When Tianna had gave birth, there were no nurses in the prison that had training in labor or delivery.
Really?
And so we have one female prison in the state of Connecticut, and you mean to tell me Tianna was not the only woman who was pregnant in this prison, that there were no nurses during this period that had labor or delivery training? Think about that. This is our state's only female prison. It has a population of a couple hundred. And there was no nurse there that had labor or delivery training. There was no on-call. The on-call OBGYN was not available. And so, you know, when you're talking about a female population, as Ken said, that is essentially captive, that can't vote with their feet, they can't go to Planned Parenthood or go to their local community health center and obtain different treatment. They are forced to deal with whatever doctors are provided to them. And then when this report comes out and says, the professional staff they had there weren't even trained in labor or delivery, and the nurse or the medical professional that was supposed to be the OBGYN that was on call was not even there.
Or available.
Mm. You know, in doing Tianna's case, we've heard from a number of other women in York that have said that they have a tough time getting routine feminine medical treatment, you know, from a competent OBGYN that the understaffing is a major issue, in that they've also had instances of not being cared for properly in terms of their health. And you know, when we hear things like that, it's concerning. But it goes back to what Ken said, in that it confirms, you know, our suspicion that these incidences, the Wayne Worlds, the Tianna LaBoys, the Karan Neelys, you know, these are not individual incidences. These are features. These are systematic issues. This is how the system is intending for these things to happen.
Exactly. This is how the system expects. They don't identify who the victim is, but the victim is foreseeable. And we'll take it even a step further when we talk about the systematic problem. In 1988, there was a lawsuit called West versus Manson. They weren't handing out tampons and feminine napkins to women, and they sued, and they won a class action, and there was something called a consent decree.
Mm-hmm.
And the state's own investigation found that Tianna's case was a violation of what the state was supposed to be doing in this consent decree that's 30 years old. The Security Division investigation that the state did into Tianna's case also found that two lieutenants who were custody staff, not medical staff, but custody staff, were supposed to do rounds of the prison during the evening. They forged the logbooks that said they did the rounds, but they never did the rounds.
Wow.
So it is possible that Tiana could have appealed to one of these lieutenants, but she never had the opportunity to because the lieutenants didn't do their rounds as they were told to and ordered to by policy. But nonetheless, they signed the logbook and forged the entry. Those lieutenants didn't lose their job. And so you sit there and say to yourself, how does the Attorney General of the state of Connecticut understand that custody staff and medical staff both violated this woman's human rights, but we refused to give her justice? And what we have to ask ourselves is, what are the Democrats in the state of Connecticut doing? They're not making us more progressive. They're bringing us closer to Georgia than we want to be.
Wow.
And more of all of these details are at our website, justicefortiana, TIANNA.org.
Wow. His voices is Hot 937, Hot937.com. I have Attorney Devon Ward, Attorney Ken Krajewski on the line, and justicefortiana.org. Justicefortiana, TIANNA, correct?
Yes, sir.
Justicefortiana.org. If nothing more, the goal. To the site and just take a read. Take a read. Here's my question. Okay. Here, even here at the radio station, we have random audits to make sure that everything is done correctly. Everything is in order. We'll have maybe our regional managers or so on come in to make sure that everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing, to make sure that everything's up to snuff. If it's not, there's fines that are attached to that. Where's the system of checks and balances here? Because if those documents were forged, they've been forged for a long time. And why hasn't there been a system of checks and balances? And who's making sure that people, because if you're in a situation like that, it's a female prison, why don't we have medical staff in place that's prepared for every possible scenario there? Like, who's responsible for making sure that this is in place? Because they have some questions to answer as well, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a deeper question, because so when you get into the issue of inmate medical care, it's like every other problem in the country. It boils down to money. And you know, for a very long time, the state was in a contract with the University of Connecticut Medical Center to provide medical care to the inmate population here in Connecticut. They ripped up that contract in July of 2018. And now the medical care for prisoners in the state of Connecticut is being provided by nurses and doctors who are under the DOC umbrella. They're not employed by an outside organization. They are actually DOC employees. But now you have the Department of Correction that is in the business of correction and custody, now in the business of medical care. And not only are they now in this area of medical care, they don't have any oversight. So they're not subject to the same inspections that your local hospital or your local community health center are subject to. They don't get inspected by the Department of Public Health. They are accredited by any outside accrediting agency. And so it's almost a policy flaw, what I call a policy flaw, in that the Department of Correction right now are operating in a vacuum. And that they are providing medical care with no oversight, none of the oversight that we would require of a individual medical provider in the community, and largely this how this even situation came to be, where DOC is in the business of medical care, it really stems from money. And that, you know, you're big man, I'm sure you're no stranger that the state of Connecticut has had some budget trouble recently.
Yes,
and there's no particular lobby for prisoners, and so when you're looking for places to cut, that a lot of state officials look is, we can cut prison medical care. Who's going to care about the prisoners, right? But the part where they run into a problem, why that's bad policy, is, as Ken already said, prisoners are guaranteed medical care. They have a constitutional right to medical care, because to deny somebody medical care when they're suffering would be torture, and torture is outlawed here in the United States of America. And so it's how we got to this situation, and how do we fix it? It really all boils down to money, and I think we have to start putting policy behind our rhetoric, right? And here in Connecticut, Governor Malloy spent a long time talking about Second Chance Society. There's a number of other state officials who talk about folks returning home and being compassionate to those returning home and being understanding. But we also need some of that same compassion and understanding while they're incarcerated, mm-hmm. right? We can't just worry about them when they come home. If they happen to survive prison, we need to also be concerned about their rehabilitation, their safety, while they're incarcerated, because the reality is the majority of people who are in our prisons are going to return home to society someday. Mm-hmm. And when those folks come home to the community, we want them to be productive members. We want them to be healthy individuals. And that's part and parcel why Ken and I took on the Hep C lawsuit, is because we found out that 1 in 3 prisoners in the state of Connecticut had hepatitis C. Mm-hmm. And those folks were going to be coming home to our communities without being treated, which should have disastrous effects on everybody, you know, whether you're incarcerated or not. And so, you know, I think it's with that approach, too, that I try to employ to people in Connecticut, that, you know, you may not care about prisoners' rights, you may not care about prisoners' medical care, but the reality is those folks who are incarcerated, the majority of them, are going to come home and return to the community someday.
Mm. And big man, I think the other thing that's really important is that Connecticut is the only state in the nation where the Department of Correction manages its own medical care. So, aside from being a policy flaw, if mm-hmm. states are the laboratories of democracy, as Justice Louis Brandeis would say, Connecticut is the only laboratory where there's a mad scientist making this kind of a policy choice.
Mm.
Every other state in the union either has a university model, mm-hmm. like we saw that used to exist between UConn and the Connecticut Department of Correction, and other states make it work fine, New Jersey, Virginia, et cetera. But in other states, many, many other states use for-profit healthcare models, which are a nightmare in and of themselves, which make the university model of healthcare slightly more beneficial. But whatever those other states are doing, Connecticut is an outlier in currently running its own healthcare system within the Department of Correction. And there are many reasons for that policy choice, but not one of those reasons is to give inmates a better shot at surviving very bad illnesses that arise. And, mm-hmm. and Governor Lamont's administration has not necessarily been great in the COVID stuff, and that lawsuit was brought by the ACLU. But as we look historically back at it, this situation with Tiana LaBoy came from the University of Connecticut's management of the care of inmates. And we thought the state was trying to put that behind them, and we thought this would be an opportunity for William Tong to say, okay, we want to give this inmate justice, and we want to help her heal. If prisons are to rehabilitate, then why don't we want to help Tiana heal?
Wow, absolutely. His voice is Hot 93.7, hot937.com. Big man here, and I'm speaking with Attorney Devon Ward and Attorney Ken Krajewski. And justice for Tiana. Justice for Tiana. T-I-A-N-N-A. Justice for Tiana. Everything that we're talking about here, and then some, is on that site. So if you're looking to obtain more information, please go to that site, show your support. I'm just overwhelmed by this, because you would think, you know, with everything that's in place, everything that's written in place, that's supposed to happen when someone's incarcerated, that's supposed to happen, because regardless of whatever's going on, they're still humans. So they still have their human rights in place. And this is a complete violation with a cover-up. And the work that you guys are doing is tireless work. You guys have been working day and night, and just knowing what you did for cases in the past, I can imagine what it is for something like this. And to talk about the type of resistance that you're receiving, which is the same type of resistance that law enforcement balks at when it happens in the streets and in other factions or other areas. How disappointing is it to see things play out the way that it's playing out right now?
Yeah, it's really disheartening, because, you know, Attorney General Tong is somebody who represents himself as being somebody who's a defender of human rights, of women rights. Actually, at the beginning of William Tong's administration, he actually filed a brief with the court out in the 10th Circuit, and I'm not sure if you heard about this story, but the Trump administration was holding immigrant and asylum and refugee-seeking children in a detention center, and the conditions were inhumane. William Tong, our attorney general, filed a brief in the way in the 10th Circuit, arguing that the Trump administration's treatment of kids in being born into or being kept in cages and cells in inhumane conditions was a violation of the law. Mm. He is turning around, though, here in Connecticut and fighting Tiana and her daughter, who was born into inhumane conditions, and fighting them from obtaining justice. And so, you know, it's really frustrating. It's very frustrating in that, you know, somebody who thinks and identifies themselves as a friend of Black Lives Matter, as somebody who understands systematic racism, is behaving in this manner. It's very concerning. It's very troubling. And it's very frustrating that, you know, someone can publicly represent themselves one way and then, you know, turn around in legal proceedings in federal court, behave a completely different way. And so that's why we're really trying to get the public involved and make the public aware that this is going on, this is what he's doing, and try to get the public to implore him to stop, because this is not consistent with somebody who understands systematic racism, who is a defender of human rights. There's no way. There's no way you can defend a child being forced to be born in a prison cell. There's nothing that you can say to defend that, especially when you knew that this woman was pregnant, when she begged for help for a number of days, it was denied help. There's a way of defending that. And so it's really frustrating. But Ken and I, we both have a ton of faith in the legal system. We have faith that folks in a judge and a trier of fact are going to see things our way, and we're confident in that. And so,
if I can throw in one thing, big man, mm-hmm. is that it's not just that they're fighting it. It's the manner in which they're fighting it. So there's these legal device in order to help develop and secure facts and narrow down issues for trial, and they're called requests for admission. In one request for admission, Attorney General William Tong's lawyer asked our client if she could have had the baby on the bed.
What?
And every time I say that, that's exactly the reaction, big man. You're like, what level of... What level of lack of concern for humankind exists in the mind of a person who writes that sentence?
Hmm.
I'm trying to be very careful with my words, because that admit you could have had the baby on the bed is a sentence that, like, you want me to bring this to a woman who has known issues and, like, have her, like, what are you thinking? And how do you defend that? You can't defend that. You can't, under any circumstance, can you defend that? And so, from our perspective, it's not just that they're fighting it. It's how they're fighting it as well that makes me feel like, look, the Democrats are sitting there trying to draw the distinction that they are not Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then they do things like this, and I'm saying, I have to vote for the Democrats, but give me a reason, buddy.
There's Voices. It's Hot 93.7, hot937.com. Big man here. I have Attorney Devon Ward and Attorney Ken Krajewski on the line. And we're running out of time here. We got about two or three more minutes left. First, I wanted to, you know, before we close, I want to take the time out once again to thank you guys for everything that you're doing for those who don't have a voice. You're putting a voice to it. Those who may have a voice, but their voice isn't loud enough, you're putting a voice to that. Pointing out issues that most of us aren't aware of, things that are happening behind the scenes that most of us aren't aware of, because to a large degree it's being swept under the rug, and they're putting blindfolds over our eyes so that we don't see this stuff. So it just seems like corruption on a whole different level. And for you guys to spend the days, nights, weekends, and everything else on cases like this, for those people that most other people will be like, oh, well, you know, I have my own issues and I have, you know, you guys are going the extra mile to make sure that justice is served and to make sure that a light has been shined on these issues. I commend you for your work and applaud you for doing this. In closing, if you have any closing words, and to also let everyone know where they can find additional information and how to reach you.
Yeah, so I just want to say thank you. Thank you and 93.7 for having this forum, for having voices and having folks be able to highlight these stories that we may not hear about in traditional news media, and be able to give a platform to folks like myself and other folks from the community to be able to tell these stories. So first of all, thank you. For having us on. The other thing I would tell everybody is justiceforTiana.org, justiceforTiana.org. Please go sign our petitions to Attorney General William Tong. And the last thing I just want to say is shout out to Tiana LaBoy. She may be listening in York. Shout out to Sonia Bracey in York CI. Shout out to all the ladies in York CI who are incarcerated. And shout out to the COs and the medical staff there. I don't want to come off as that there are no good COs, there are no good medical staff in prison, because I know tons of medical staff there who do the right thing, who deeply care about the people they treat and the people that they see. And so I want to shout out all the good COs and all the medical professionals in Connecticut prisons that I know as well. Mm-hmm. But justiceforTiana.org and Big Man, thank you again for having us on.
Absolutely.
And Big Man, if I could say one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel comfortable just going to Justice for Tiana, get in contact with your local elected official, for your state representative or your state senator, and call them.
Mm.
Right? Take your activism to the next level. We're doing what we can, but this is we need everybody, because we all know people who are incarcerated and we love them, and they're human and they deserve human rights. And thank you so much, Big Man, for doing this. Thank you, Attorney Ward, and have a good day, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. This has been Voices. It's Hot 93.7, Hot937.com. If you're interested in being a guest on Voices, you can email me at BigEvents, BigEvents at gmail.com, or follow us at Hot937 on Instagram and Twitter, Hot937FM, or at DJ Big Man, 2 G's, 2 N's. This is Voices. Thank you, Attorney Devon Ward, Attorney Ken Krajewski. Thank you so much. And this won't be the last time that we'll have you on the show.
Thank you, Big Man.
All right, it's Voices. It's Hot 93.7. Keep it right here.
Connecticut. It's time we talked about.